A few weeks ago, on Thursday the 12th of March, we lost our good friend and colleague here at Virgin Radio, Pete Mitchell. Pete collapsed whilst on a walk near his home in Stockport, aged just 61. He was born on the 11th of December 1958 at Crumpsall Hospital, North Manchester. He was educated at St Mary's Primary School in Denton, followed by St Thomas More Roman Catholic School. When Pete was a kid, he wanted to be an astronaut and to be the first man on the moon. When he left school, Pete started working as an electrician and then a painter and decorator. And he started his broadcasting career as a sports commentator at Red Rose Radio in Lancashire way back in 1986 before moving to Manchester's commercial station, Piccadilly Radio Key 103, in 1989. He presented the afternoon show where he eventually teamed up with Jeff Lloyd. Now, this was the start of a double act that would develop into one of the UK's most successful radio shows. Here is Jeff Lloyd.
Well, Pete was already a successful DJ on the big local radio station, Piccadilly Key 103 in Manchester. And he kind of played by the rules on his weekday show. He stuck to the playlist. He did the whole cheesy local radio bit.
Pete Mitchell.
Yes, it's Denton's very own Dropout, Pete Mitchell on Piccadilly Key 103.
But on a weekend, he had this brilliant show called IQ, where he showcased local acts from, you know, what they called the Manchester scene. And he'd become very well known when he brought the city centre to a standstill by getting the band James to play an impromptu gig on the roof of the radio station.
And that's just what the Manchester band James did this week by doing their thing on a rooftop.
James doing it in Manchester in 1991, playing a short set, James.
Around the same time, I was a DJ on a much smaller radio station in South Manchester, and I worked with Craig Cash, who went on to become very successful with Carolina Hearn, creating the Mrs. Merton show and the Royal Family. But Craig also did a radio show featuring local bands, and everyone kind of went to the same gigs. So we all knew Pete from being out and about. Anyway, this radio station had a clear out. We all got fired. Craig and Caroline straight away got on with making the Mrs. Merton show. But it didn't go so well for me. I had to move back in with my mum and dad. I'd got a job in a record shop. And Craig had just moved to the village where Pete lived. And he started badgering Pete to get me a job at Piccadilly Key 103. And to Pete's credit, he did. A couple of days a week, alongside the record shop job, I became the producer of his weekend show, cataloguing his tapes, phoning up record companies, blagging him gig tickets, and booking bands for interviews and sessions.
First artist we're going to feature, choice of Ian Brown, Bob Marley.
Well, Bob gets bigger every year, bigger.
He does, he's never faded.
He's never faded, he's increasing every year, you know, bigger, beautiful, unsearchable.
Yeah, when can you remember, you know, first time around getting into Marley and what sort of turned you on to Marley?
I think the first thing I'd have heard would have been Is This Love, 76.
Well, a selection of Ian Brown. This is Bob Marley on IQ.
So not long after I started, Pete was asked to fill in on the weekday breakfast show, and he hadn't really done that kind of programme before, so he asked me if I'd got any ideas. We went out for a curry. I gave him an exhausting and perhaps, yeah, not very good with hindsight, list of ideas for features and competitions and sketches and so on. But he seemed to really like them, and he paid for the curry. And the first morning he was due to do it, he said, would you mind just coming in to make sure it all runs smoothly? So I took my day off the record shop. I went in for this breakfast show. Miraculously, it all went okay. And Pete even asked me the odd thing on the air, and we had a bit of fun. But it was, I suppose, a bit riotous compared to what this radio station usually had on at that time of day. So we were like a little bit apprehensive when we came off the air and about what the bosses would think. But fortunately, the only bit of feedback we got was, if Jeff's going to talk, can you make sure he's got his own microphone? And I never went back to my job in the record shop. So from then on, every afternoon, the show was called Pete and Jeff.
Good afternoon, Oldham, Denton, Liverpool, Monton, Cheadleham, Audenshaw, Macclesfield, Urmston, Duckinfield, Levensume, Wally Range, Miles, Platting, a very good afternoon, live from Manchester.
Manchester, so good they named it twice.
another big day in the north. Can I introduce myself? I'm the very funny afternoon radio personality they call Pete Mitchell.
And I'm the truly hilarious, very attractive 23-year-old boy they call Jeff Lloyd.
Big round of applause for Jeff Lloyd. Thank you.
It caught on really quickly. Part of it, I think, was just that people could hear we were having a blast. But also, the timing was perfect. Manchester music was huge. Oasis were the biggest band on the planet. And finally, there was this show on the big local station that just sounded like what was going on in the city. And we would have all these famous Manchester people just dropping in.
Hey, this is Noel Gallagher from Oasis, and you can join me with my double best mate, Pete Mitchell, on Key 103.
Hey, Gene. It's,
what, Jim?
Pete and Jeff. Are they on
drugs?
No, on
antibiotics.
On Key 103.
I don't know.
Neither do I, love.
Caroline and Craig would do daft stuff for us. They were just around the corner at Granada TV making the Mrs. Merton show. And we'd have all these silly catchphrases and sketches that up-and-coming local comedians would do. Johnny Vegas was always on, Peter Kay, Lucy Porter, Chris Addison. And there was this brilliant local guy called Smug Roberts who recorded this thing that was based on a chant that his granddad used to hear in the terraces at Oldham FC.
Meat, pie, sausage roll, come on, Oldham, giz a go. Meat, pie, sausage roll, come on, Oldham, giz a go. I can remember the smile on his face as he sang it.
People would call in just to request that clip. People would shout it out of van windows at us. And the 1998 World Cup was coming up. So we put Smug together with Martin Coogan from the band The Mock Turtles and had our attempt at a novelty football hit.
Meat pie, sausage roll, come on England, kiss a go.
You can see me and Pete in the video. He's on guitar, I'm on keyboards. We were on a bunch of TV shows. The Daily Star put us on their front page. And as anyone who lived through the 1998 World Cup will remember, it stormed the charts. It peaked at number 67.
Ooh, we got a corner. Ooh, we got a corner.
It was just the best time. Every memory I've got of me and Pete in Manchester is like it was on a sunny day, which of course makes no sense because it was Manchester, but it was golden. You know, I was young and daft. Pete had just started seeing Helen, who he loved to bits, and ended up marrying. We'd always be off to some gig or other, like often with his sons, Adam and Sean, who were like mini-me's of Pete, the two sides of him. Adam, very mellow, obsessed with guitars. And then Sean, complete rebel, completely feral. And we were just always laughing.
Hi, this is George Michael. You're listening to Pete Mitchell and Jeff Lloyd in the afternoon on Key 103. What a pair of losers. I can't say f***ers then.
For some reason, now lost in the mists of time, every Friday we would play a karaoke version of Love Train by the OJs. And we would sing along and replace all the places in that song with local areas like Stockport or Moss Side or wherever.
The next stop that we make will be Withenshaw.
All right, it's all right then.
Yeah, great.
And I know this sounds overly sentimental, but it was just this great moment in our lives where it felt like the whole city was singing along with us.
People all over the world, join hands, start a love train, love train.
I was really sorry to hear about Pete passing away. I'd like to say on behalf of New Order and many other musicians, what a great debt we owe to him for championing our causes and playing our records when no one else would. He was a true Mancunian without being a professional Mancunian, which is a hard line to straddle. He supported every band I'd been in and always had a positive attitude towards new music, and he was born in Crumsall, just like me. He was a chap. Thanks, Pete.
Pete Mitchell's favourite New Order song there, Regret. This is Virgin Radio between now and 10. We're paying tribute to Pete and celebrating his career. Pete passed away unexpectedly on March the 12th, aged just 61. His broadcasting career, though, spanned over 30 years. And for the last 2 years, Pete was an integral part of the team right here at Virgin Radio. You just heard Jeff Lloyd before New Order there, Pete's radio partner in crime for a decade, talking about how it all began for those two. Here he is now talking about their time at Virgin Radio, first time round. They joined me on the station there in 1999.
Well, off the back of what had been happening in Manchester, we won some awards, we cropped up in the newspapers and on a little bit of telly. And I think because of that, we got the call from Virgin Radio.
Little Diddy, let's go!
Back to Pete and Jeff.
Pete and Jeff.
Two Mancunian kids growing up
in the heartland.
Budget.
Can you guess what Pete and Jeff are playing on? The stylophone.
Stylophone.
One of the great memories is we were invited to this Paul McCartney album launch party, but it was when we were due to be on the air, and I was just gutted. So Pete, knowing that I was this huge Beatles fan, hatched this plot completely without permission for us to put half the show on tape and then sneak out for an hour without the bosses or anyone knowing, which we did. And it was amazing. And thanks to Pete, I got to shake hands with a Beatle. But when we got back to the radio station, we heard what was coming out the speakers and it wasn't our voices. It was Chris Evans. So we ran back up to the studio and Chris had turned up, as he often would in the evening back then, with booze and an entourage. And the entourage happened to include our managing director. And they were on the air. They'd hijacked the show and they were doing a survey of the listeners as to whether we should be sacked or not. Fortunately, it did go our way. And actually, the day after that, we got the call to interview Paul McCartney, which was a dream come true.
Macca, welcome, hello.
Oh, thank you, and welcome and hello to you.
We thought we'd curry your favour by buying you a present. Well, we bought two things, and we can't decide which you'd rather have, so we got air freshener.
Yeah.
Or a Kinder Surprise.
What would you go for?
I think I'll go for the air freshener.
Okay, there you go.
It's nothing to do with your personal habits, but when you've left, I might just give it a little spray.
We only found out at the last minute that the interview was going to take place today, and Jeff's had a very troublesome day.
Yeah, I was out in the pub with my friend Helen. We were supposed to go to the pictures.
Yeah.
And now we've got to come here instead.
This is better than the pictures, though, Jeff.
You don't know what we're going to say.
And I was just cleaning the flat when I got the call, Paul. So
Chris Evans had been our boss when we started at Virgin. He owned the radio station and he also hosted the breakfast show, and he left in 2001. And when he left, there was this vacuum that they really struggled to fill. And at the same time, me and Pete had been, I suppose, gaining a bit of momentum. I'd got sober. The shows were better for it. The listeners seemed to be really into what we were doing. And we just kind of caught a bit of a wave. And they asked us to take over the breakfast show.
I'm Pete Mitchell.
I'm Jeff Lloyd. Hello there.
Hello there. Good morning.
We did 3 years in total. Neither of us were particularly morning people, so that was plenty. But we had a riot.
We're going to play Who's That? What's Got a Box on the Head?
Jeff, is it you what's got a box on your head?
No, it's me, Pete. What's got a box on my head?
It makes my head spin trying to remember it all. We had huge guests. The listeners were brilliant. We got to do some extraordinary stuff, like broadcast from Euro 2004 in Portugal. And it was successful too. We won awards. We managed to get ratings that were never beaten. So it's sort of difficult to single out a moment. But there is one clip that I still get asked about. And in fact, when the sad news about Pete broke, I had hundreds of people mentioning this on social media. We used to do a feature called Mummy Am I Ugly, where listeners would send in a photo of themselves and we would give them an appraisal. And I think it was pretty warm and celebratory rather than cruel. But there was this one morning where Pete couldn't control himself. And this is quite a long clip, but I think it warrants playing in full.
All right, then, each morning in this age where we're all preoccupied with physical appearance and our own image, we tell a listener whether they're ugly or not. They send in a picture and we judge their face. You know, there's nothing cruel about it. They do it of their own free will. We're just letting them know one way or the other. Then they can get on with their lives. We're not saying there's anything wrong with being ugly. And also, we're a deeply ugly group of people ourselves. I'm an ugly man. I have a weak face. My weight fluctuates. I've got a piggy nose. Pete's slightly better looking. But jowly, grey, Annabelle's cookie rather than conventionally attractive, and Dominic is a very large man. So this morning it's Graham. Good morning, Graham.
You know? Good morning, Pete and Jeff.
Hello.
Good morning, Graham.
Where'd you join us from, Graham?
I'm joining you from Leeds.
And how old are you?
I'm 27. Oh,
is this a recent photograph?
Yeah, it is.
Are you remembering a joke you just recently heard? Is that what you're laughing at? Is it a joke you recently heard? What is it, Pete? Sorry about it, Pete Graham. What we're going to do is we're going to go around the room and we're going to each give our initial thoughts on your face before giving you the ugly or not ugly verdict in a few short moments' time. So let judgment commence. Pete, I'm interested to hear your opinions.
A big sausage. It's like big fat sausage face. It's quite the ugliest thing I've ever seen. It is the worst face you've had on here since we started. I'm sorry. I've been. Great. Right.
Oh. So that's Pete's opinion. Annabelle, what are your thoughts on?
No, it's not that bad. It's got a nice.
It's what?
It's got a nice twinkle in his eye. Quite nice lips. The chief concern here don't seem to have any ears at all.
No ears
whatsoever.
Tom.
It looks like you've taken it when you put a torch under your chin, and you've just taken it from shooting upwards.
All right, Graham. I think you've got quite a kind face, which is rather undermined by your cold, lifeless eyes. We're going to go around the room with our signs and give you the verdict, ugly or not ugly. Pete, your sign, please. Tom. Annabelle. Yeah, Graham, I'm sure you're in no doubt. Maybe it's not a flattering photograph, but our verdict is you are ugly. So we're not saying there's anything wrong with it being ugly or looking like a sausage. We're just saying, you know, now you know one way or the other, you can get on with your life. All right, Graham.
Okay,
thanks, Graham, for giving me such a laugh.
I love that so much because you get to hear Pete in a way that you didn't always... on the radio. A lot of us in this line of work are weirdos who only really come to life when the microphone is on, whereas Pete was one of these people who what you heard on the radio barely scratched the surface. And in that, you hear him exactly as he was in real life. He was hilarious and he was deeply, deeply inappropriate. I went out for a curry with him just a couple of weeks before he died, and he was classic Pete. He had a good old moan. Pete loved nothing more than to moan about people. And then he banged on very proudly about Helen and his boys, and he talked about ideas of stuff that he wanted to do. It doesn't feel real. It's desperately sad. It's just rotten, and the reaction has been beautiful. I just wish that Pete could have known how much people loved him. Two of us riding nowhere, spending someone's...
That's Jeff Lloyd talking about his career with Pete Mitchell. Our friend Pete passed away suddenly on March the 12th. This is Virgin Radio, and we're paying tribute to and celebrating Pete's life and career. Jeff mentioned the actor, comedy writer, and co-creator of Mrs. Merton, Craig Cash. Now, Craig was the person who actually introduced Jeff and Pete, and one of Pete's best friends. So let's hear from Craig now.
I've been the best of friends with Pete for the last 30 years. I loved him to bits. I've been blessed, to be honest. So many happy memories. Holidays away with him and his lovely wife Ellen. Boozy days, nights and belly laughs with his sons Adam and Sean. Two chips off the old block if ever I saw them. And always a fantastic soundtrack provided by Pete playing as a backdrop. He was a working class lad with style. He was cool and he had excellent eclectic taste. But people like that are usually cold and aloof. Pete was the opposite. He was warm and kind with the biggest of hearts. He loved to share, whether it was a laugh, a bottle of wine he'd bought for a treat, or some rare cheese he'd brought back from Notting Hill Market. He did that quite often. But most usually, a great record he'd heard and loved. He shared his love of a great song throughout his brilliant broadcasting career spanning several decades. His ear for a good tune was second to none. Many years ago, he invited me on his show as a guest, and I asked who else was on. He said, "Oh, it's this brilliant girl. She's amazing. You'll love her. I think she's going to be huge." I'd never heard of her. Nobody had at the time. It was Amy Winehouse. He introduced his audience to so many brilliant artists and bands over the years, and his interviews were wonderful. He had a terrific ability to bring out the best in artists and bands. It was effortless to him. When I think about it, that's what he did with everyone. He brought out the best in them. His loved ones, his friends, everyone he met. Like I said at the start, we were blessed. God bless you, Pete. I love you, mate.
All I can ever be to you is the darkness that we know and this regret I got.
The amazing Amy Winehouse, one of hundreds of new artists that Pete championed on his radio shows throughout his career. This is a special show on Virgin Radio, paying tribute to and celebrating our colleague and friend Pete Mitchell's life and career. In 2010, Pete, with the help from his son Adam, built his own studio in his house in Marple Bridge near Stockport. From there, he went on to make documentaries and shows for Absolute Radio, Radio 2, Six Music, and more recently for us here at Virgin Radio. One of Pete's best pals and neighbours, musician, producer and founder of Twisted Nerve and Finders Keepers Records is Andy Votel.
Pete would walk past my house virtually every day, and I think that he believed that the absurd conversations that we'd have on my doorstep, which were essentially like gossip between Nora Batty and, I don't know, Frankie Howard, were potentially more interesting to him than most of the things he was hearing on the radio himself. I think later in his career, he really wanted to re-inject that human element back into his work and take down that divide between the presenter and the listener. I think there's a hell of a lot to be said about Pete's growing up in Droylsden and Denton, which fed him with these insane stories about his brother getting attacked by a lion at the zoo, or a tragic tale of his friend getting hit by a car and landing in a tree, which all gave him this really colourful palette as a really good, genuine, but overly excited storyteller. I mean, 20 years later, you could replace these characters with David Bowie and Diana Ross and a long list of people who were really happy to engage in interviews with Pete, but essentially it was the same thing. He knew how to regale a tale. When Pete eventually set up his DIY sort of box room studio in Marple, it was amazing how many people that he'd worked with over the past 3 or 4 decades were continuously excited to come back and speak to him. There'd be people whose careers he'd essentially launched 20 years earlier who could just pick up with Pete where they'd left off. And the fact that they'd not only travelled to Manchester but got yet another train right out to the sticks to meet Pete in our local cafe was true testimony to how much they loved working with him. It caused hilarity in the village, because one day you'd potentially spot George Clinton in the post office or some American synthesizer pioneer waiting outside the train station, or a Northern Soul or blues legend talking to Noddy Holder in the chippy. Some people didn't notice, but it's weird how Pete brought his wider universe to our tiny community.
Andy Votel, talking about his pal and neighbour Pete Mitchell. Now, we've heard how Pete supported new bands and artists from Manchester and beyond. And as you just heard, he also had a huge love for Motown and Northern Soul. He presented and produced regular soul shows on Absolute Radio with guests including Smokey Robinson, Candy Staton and George Clinton, and made numerous documentaries, including The Story of Motown, which went out on Virgin last year.
I'm Pete Mitchell, and you are listening to part one of Revolutions in Music, the story of Motown, the sound of young America, on Virgin Radio.
Detroit, Michigan. Motortown. Motown. This is the Motown Sound.
I try to do a variety of things, so I like to be just recognized as me being Stevie Wonder. I think the singing with soul means singing with feeling.
Baby, everything is all right. Pete was so respected when it came to his knowledge of Northern Soul that he was asked to contribute to the 2014 movie of the same name, Northern Soul, and made a documentary for BBC Radio 2 about Dean Parrish. Dean was a Northern Soul star who sold over 1 million records and whose song I'm On My Way was the last song played at the last Northern Soul all-nighter at the legendary Wigan Casino. And Pete and Dean became close friends, so it seems only right to play that song by Dean now.
You're here today, then you're gone tomorrow.
Dean Parrish and I'm On My Way. Welcome back to a special show on Virgin Radio, a tribute and celebration of the life and career of our colleague and friend Pete Mitchell, who is very sadly no longer with us. We've heard a lot about Pete's tireless support of new bands and artists. It's something he strived for at every radio station he worked for, whether it was Radio 2 or 6 Music, XFM, Absolute, Key 103 or Virgin Radio. Here are some tributes from 3 bands he was particularly supportive of, plus Pete's favourite song from each of those artists. First up, Badly Drawn Boy, then Tim Burgess of The Charlatans, and finally Guy Garvey from Elbow.
Hello, this is Damon, Badly Drawn Boy. I'm here to talk about Pete Mitchell. Where do you start with someone like Pete? First of all, I'd like to say I'm absolutely heartbroken. It doesn't seem right. He's like, talk about him in the past tense as well. He was one of those blokes. He just made a room feel better. He's somebody that you'd want in your life because he just made things fun. The first time I met Pete, I think it was at the Atlas Bar in Manchester, 98. We were asked to play a small gig. Pete was the compere. I played a few songs. I'd just learned how to play Once Around the Block. Having recorded it in the studio, I had the confidence to... I think I debuted it. I played it for the first time. And I came off the stage and Pete put his arm around me, gave me a hug and said, that's something like, well, that's a belter, isn't it? It made me feel good about it because it was the first time I played it. So Pete was one of the first to hear that song. It's one of my landmark songs, I suppose, and became a favourite of Pete's. I remember thinking at the time that he was such a nice guy. Was he kind of for real? I was new to showbiz, as it were, and to meet someone like Pete early on, I thought, is he nice or is he professionally nice? Of course, over the years, I got to know him the next 20 years and got to know him as a friend. I realised he was as nice as that. He was always charming. He loved life, people and music mainly, and that's why he was so good at this job. He always took great interest in the people he was interviewing. There's some of the best interviews... easiest interviews I've probably ever done because it always felt conversational. Pete had the skill and a knack for doing that, for just making it like a chat. My stag do, which was 2 years ago, it was a 3-day event. So Pete was there for those 3 days and I have to say it was like, Pete was just a mainstay through those 3 days and made it special. And I'm grateful now for those days I spent with him. Again, something I'll probably treasure, well, I will treasure, is the last words from Pete to me was a text he sent me only a couple of weeks before he passed away. It was he was putting together a documentary for Virgin about my first album, and I knew that it was happening, but I was busy with stuff and didn't get back to him. I didn't realise he was doing it so quickly. It was going to come out so early in the year, and I then saw that it was going to be on the radio, so I felt mortified. I texted Pete to say so sorry I wasn't available, but he put together a piece with the archives that he'd gathered over the years about that album, and he just texted back promptly saying, no worries mate, it's all good, I had some great stuff anyway that I could use, and I wanted to do it because it was such a great album and it needs to be celebrated as it's the 20th anniversary. So I mean, I've got that text and I'll probably print it out somewhere and put a frame around it just to see Pete's words and what he thought of my music, which means a lot. And I know it means a lot of other artists in Manchester and beyond. Pete's faith in them helped us all along at one point or another. He's just going to be so sadly missed. And all I can do is wish his family well and hope that the memories that we all have keep us going for a while. God bless Pete.
Hi, this is Tim Burgess. I first met Pete Mitchell at a radio station in Manchester when the Charlatans took in our first single, Indian Rope, and he played it. He smiled at us for being so self-assured, and we pretty much went to see him at whatever station he was at for 30 years. And it was always good to see him. He was always the same. Just a really great, really great bloke. One of my favourite memories was that he came to interview the band after Rob came out of prison. And he came to Amsterdam, of all places, to, you know, to really kind of like find out what made the band tick. And obviously he had an access all areas pass because he was Pete. We hung out and I think he interviewed Primal Scream and Cypress Hill as well while we were all there, and it was an amazing time. I can't say enough great things about Pete Mitchell. He really helped the band and I guess gave us our first chance, really, on the radio for sure. So, rest in power, Pete. Man needs to be told there is a world.
Hi, it's Guy Garvey from Elbow here. We were all very sad to hear about Pete dying. That was a shock. He supported the band from 98. He played us on the radio locally and then nationally. And whereas I didn't see him very regularly, I saw him at least once every time we released an album, and he was brilliant at remembering the last conversation you'd had. And I don't know if that's just professionalism. As a journalist, as a great journalist, which he was, a brilliant music journalist, so good at picking winners, and not meaning that to sound conceited, he helped everybody in Manchester, the Mondays through to Badly Drawn and Bands of R.A.O. and beyond, and long after. To go back to that, so he always remembered the last time you spoke, whether it was an interview or a personal conversation. So it was nothing to do with journalistic professionalism, it was to do with that lovely caring about people thing that some people have, to the point where they remember everything that you've said. He also had that, the first few times I met him, he had that Manc combative edge as a journalist, where at the same time as supporting you, bigging you up, he'd be trying to trip you up in interviews, and kind of a little bit, who are you anyway, coming across in the initial meetings. Then as time wore on, and he was very, very open about how proud he was of Elbow and how they'd done, and I hope he knows his part in it was integral. And yeah, he was just a very, very lovely man. The other thing I always remember about Pete is he wouldn't leave anybody out of the conversation. If there was a bunch of you talking, he'd make sure he got round everybody. Yes, a champion of folk, a champion of music, an all-round good guy. And I'm very proud that I knew him and that we were involved with him. And all of our love and condolences to his family. Your eyes are just like black spots. Your hair and
dress in ribbon. Elbows, Powder Blue, this is Virgin Radio, and a special tribute and celebration of the life and career of our friend and colleague, Pete Mitchell, who passed away suddenly on Thursday, March 12th this year. It's a measure of the man that so many of the bands and artists Pete supported and worked with ended up becoming his friends. One of his closest is both a singer and broadcaster, the legend that is Noddy Holder.
How does it feel running around, round, round? How does it feel?
Well, I first met Pete over 30 years ago, and we've been friends for the last 30 years. We were both working for the same radio station up in Manchester when we first met, which was Piccadilly Radio and Key 103 Radio. And we sort of hit it off right away, both for our love of music, the same sorts of music. And we have the same sort of sense of humour, so we always used to get on really well. One afternoon with his and Jeff Lloyd's show, one of the things I remember, they had George Michael in as a guest on the air on the afternoon show, and Pete prearranged with me to call into the show and tell George Michael that I was now living in a retirement home for old pop stars when they'd hit on hard times. And I was to tell George Michael that I'd reserved him a place there. I'd put his name down for a place whenever he needed the place. And I called in on time, and George thought I was serious and got very upset at first, but then saw the funny side of things. But that was the sort of humour we shared. And on a personal note, because I sort of got him and his wife Helen together. She was also working at the radio station at the time, and I knew both of them fancied one another, but nothing had ever come of it. So I pushed them both into meeting up and going on a date, and eventually they got married, and I was actually became the best man at the wedding. So it all worked out fine. And for his funeral, his wife Helen asked me to contribute something that I thought he'd like to put in his coffin. And he's a huge Northern Soul and Tamla Motown fan, so I gave Helen, his wife, I gave him sheet music to Tears of a Clown by Smokey Robinson. I wanted to give her to put in their Heatwave. But my missus says, you can't do that. But I think Pete would have found it very funny and appreciated it. Anyway, we're giving him Tears of a Clown from Smokey Robinson and the Miracle.
Martha and the Vandellas and Heatwave, and before that, Noddy Holder paying tribute to his superfan and, in the end, close friend, Pete Mitchell. This has been a tribute to our friend and colleague Pete Mitchell, who suddenly passed away on Thursday, March the 12th, earlier this year. None of us could believe it. A couple of weeks before that, we were in the pub celebrating the first anniversary of the relaunch of the brand new Virgin Radio. I was sat at the same table as Pete. Pete, as always, gregarious, confrontational, liked to laugh. My mum would say, proper northerner. My mum would say, Pete Mitchell was now a proper northerner. Always full of energy, always full of brio, always telling it like it is, even if it meant that he got into a row. But he will be forever missed and forever loved. He was a true disciple of radio. He absolutely adored music and always wore a wry smile. Every single time he said hello to you, he would give you a giggle, give you a smile, but whatever he was giggling about or whatever smile was coming your way, you'd have to wait a few seconds to find out, because it would depend what kind of mood he was in. Were you going to get feisty Pete? Were you going to get funny Pete? Were you going to get inquisitive Pete? Were you going to get let's do a deal Pete? There were so many Pete's, but none of them at all bad. Now, we've heard from so many people about Pete's wonderful ability to get the very best out of everyone he interviewed. But what happened when the tables were turned? Here's my friend, colleague, and interviewer par excellence being grilled by his niece Meg last year for her school project.
Now it's time to welcome a very special guest, your friend and mine, Pete Mitchell!
Thank you.
Welcome to the DJ Meg's show.
It's really nice to be here. Are you enjoying being on the radio?
Yes.
I think your very first show is very professional.
Yep.
Is this your very first interview on the radio?
Yes.
Okay. And I've not seen any of these questions, so they're all a surprise to me. So would you like to interview me starting now?
Yes.
Off you go.
So, Pete, what is the colour of your favourite underpants?
blue. With green and red stripes.
Who is your favourite footballer?
My favourite footballer is Georgie Best, the Belfast boy.
The best.
Yeah, I like it. It's good, yeah.
What is your best tea?
Evening meal. That's a tricky one. That would be some Indian food. Would that be right? I would like some Indian food for my... I would like some dal and some rice and some paneer, please.
What three things would you take to the moon?
Some oxygen to breathe. My favourite underpants, obviously. and Auntie Helen.
What is your favourite song to DJ?
What is my favourite song to DJ? To get people dancing, I would probably play to get everybody dancing. That would be the Jackson 5 and I Want You Back.
Nice!
Yeah, groovy.
Jackson 5 and I Want You Back. So I hope you have enjoyed this tribute and celebration of the life of our pal and colleague Pete Mitchell, who passed away early this year. Thank you to everyone who has contributed to the show, and in particular to Pete's widow, Helen, who has been tonight's executive producer. Thank you so much, Helen. This can't have been at all easy for you, but goodness me, you've done an amazing job. God bless. And now, if it's okay with everyone, I'm going to nip off and raise a very quiet glass to Pete. Cheers, Pete. I think it's exactly what he would want me to do. Maybe more than just a glass. Maybe a few. But hey, pal, not too many. Got a show in the morning. You know how it is.